All right. It is super crosstalk, but a little less super because Mace isn't here.
Oh. I know.
And a little less crossy.
Bye, Mace. Love you.
Get in the car. Run to the car.
I like
so, DeMarco Farr is here today for Cappy. How are you, DeMarco Farr?
I'm good, sir. What's up, my grocery store partner, mate, friend?
Oh, wait. How long before he remembers? I have his phone. He dropped it and left it in this seat.
About 10 seconds.
Let me see.
Count. No. Just wait. Just wait.
Eight.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, so... Grocery store mate, DeMarco and I live in the same neighborhood. I always run into him at the grocery store.
Frozen food section.
Generally speaking, yes, at the frozen food section is where we always end up bumping into each other.
And Hoist Gracie. Yeah. I bumped into in the frozen food
Hoist Gracie section. Is there. Yeah. Also, Anderson Silva lives in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of MMA guys,
it's
actually.
It's quite a neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't mess around. You get your ass kicked between like DeMarco and the UFC fighters.
Gracie is the skinniest, scariest man.
Oh my
of all
God.
Time. Like he's like a living octopus.
Can you say what neighborhood this is?
It's let's call it in the South Bay.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyhow, Andy Kamenetsky, it's nice to have you aboard here as well, because I feel like you guys were talking about something that I want to get DeMarco's opinion on. So they were talking about astrology. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, Virgo, Capricorn, all that stuff.
I don't really know
a ton about that stuff.
Yeah.
I am vaguely familiar and, you know, remotely fascinated occasionally. Like Laura loves astrology. So she'll like tell me like, oh, you're a Virgo and you got this, this, and this. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of like that. So it is kind of weird how that stuff works.
What did he call her? How do you say witch in Spanish?
Bruja.
That's what he did say. He did say that.
I'm not a bruja.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Saying. Yeah. I don't know. I know some. I just know what I am. And she called me bipolar.
Yeah. So bipolar?
She said.
It's a Gemini.
She said all Gemini.
I don't know. What the hell does that even mean? Like, I don't know if that means what
hot
that means.
Hot and cold. Hot and cold all the time.
Hot and cold.
I mean,
you're
that's
not
why.
Hot and cold. You're like the most even person I know.
I hope so.
You and like Travis Rogers.
Well, we really don't hang out.
But that's how, like, remember the Will Smith movie, Gemini Man? There were two Will Smiths.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, one was the older Will Smith, one was younger, but it's the different sides of them.
All right, so what are you, Andy? What sign are
I'm
you?
An Aries.
What is an Aries, Laura? Talk to us.
Aries are actually pretty easygoing.
Yeah, that's
they,
fair.
Because my one of my nieces is, but when she gets mad, it's like, holy hell, please step out of their way.
I don't get mad often.
But when you do.
But when I get mad, like my friends growing up used to be like, it's scary when you get mad. Maybe in part because you don't get mad that often.
Uh-huh.
But they're like, I don't like you when you're mad.
Yep.
Ooh, look at that.
But they're super chill for like 98%. But
98, but that two?
That 2%.
You're like 2% milk, man.
Am I right? Yep.
It still packs enough of a punch when you need it. So there you go.
See, I'm pretty good at this.
You are pretty good.
Now,
We could have it. What would be like the female Walter Mercado? What would be that?
Yeah. I would want the get up though.
We should totally do like a segment where you're just like giving us like your Mason. You forgot your phone. I sat on it. Yeah. Here comes Mason.
Help me now.
I mean,
my wallet's over there.
Your wallet?
Really?
Oh, man, I didn't know that. I only found the phone.
He's already 75 bucks
light. I would have bought some stuff if I knew the wallet was there.
Good Lord. Now, has it been your experience, too, though, that it's really women who are into astrology?
No, I text you. I heard you guys talk about Ricky Williams is big. He goes on the Levitard show every week, and he's super deep into this stuff. Like, people pay him to, like...
Beta.
Talk about like personality traits and like where the planets align and
the
all.
Running
but,
back Ricky Williams.
Yeah. But he needs to know like the day you're born, the time, all that stuff. Like,
wow.
To get like an accurate reading. Yeah, he's like super into it.
Like shocked, but not shocked. That
right.
makes total. That's on brand for him.
Yeah, he's like a super. Well, he's super into that. He's like super yogi. Like he's like.
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in a wedding dress.
He was with Mike Ditka.
I mean, it's so on brand that he would be into that.
Yeah, shit. He's super into it. So the Yeah, so we could do it with Laura, I feel like, every week.
Yeah.
You know.
Honestly,
that's beta astrology, by
no,
the way.
No, here's what we do. We have callers call in, then Laura will give them their traits and be like, and they can tell us or not whether
they're
like
you,
them.
People would call in.
Yeah.
Can you call it?
What about Bergman? What is Bergman?
Oh, so.
But Bergman is Virgo.
He's
a Virgo.
But he's more of the Chinese horoscope side. He's like because he's a pig. Him and Morales are pigs. And. No, that's not what I mean. But like, I've told both of them that they're really good at helping people.
Yeah.
But if you don't help them back, it's like they're gonna be so mad because they want you to repay that favor.
Oh
back.
Damn!
Wow.
I mean, yeah, you know, if I do something for you, you do something for me.
See?
Scratch my back, I scratch yours.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. But you mad when you don't get that scratch back.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, pretty good.
Call me now.
We went through all the characteristics of a Virgo, trying to figure out just how close Morales was to them. We didn't get into Greg's tendencies specifically, but it's always what I find interesting about it, though, is the people that get into astrology, they get really mad when you don't line up to however it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Oh, no, you can't get mad about that.
But they do, though.
Like
my wife is pretty into this stuff, and my daughter's got into it from it. And, like, if you lay out some type of astrological thing, whoever you're talking about, and it doesn't line up precisely, they get upset over it.
What do you mean they get upset?
Like, they feel like
if
it's
they're wrong?
Well, they just feel like it's not supposed to be that way. And they'll try to argue against it. I'm like, look, this is just the information I got. I can't tell
it's what
you
what Google said, honey.
Right. Exactly. I'm just doing a Google search for Aries. Like,
heck yeah.
Talk to the people who wrote it.
Well, it depends, because like Sedano said, when you do the planets and all that stuff, when you do the beta astrology, it might shift your sign. So if you're in Aries, but in the beta, you might not be in Aries. And then depends what, like,
right,
what
because you're like, you could be like Aries, but more leaning towards another sign.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, but the people,
you might be a cusp or something.
The people really into it really want it to be correct. Mm. Like, it matters a lot to them.
Like analytics.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's the, you know, you can torture numbers to get them to say whatever you want. You can torture an astrological sign.
So basically, when you tell your wife, when you tell your wife that, like, you know, something and she doesn't agree with it, she basically just goes, wrong, motherfucker! Yeah, like that? That's basically the response?
Well, yeah, but that's sort of an open-ended situation. Oh, okay. Not about astrology.
I thought my house was bugged.
Yeah.
Mason is a snake like you, though, Sedano.
Mason is a snake?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. A snake?
It makes sense.
Which one is that?
Chinese horoscope.
Chinese horoscope. That's okay. Another different variation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do they overlap, connect somehow?
Do they overlap
no,
and connect?
The beta is one thing. Like, ours, Cancer, Aries is one thing, which is the Western signs. And then we have the Chinese horoscope, which is different. And then, I mean, there's many different stuff.
The all-you-can-eat Chinese food place to go to in college had. They were nice enough to put that on the little placemat.
Like your Chinese zodiac?
Yeah, everything. Yeah.
Wow.
It's fun while you eat, while you overeat.
Yeah. By the way, you are wearing a cap that says security.
I have no idea.
And
yeah.
You could totally pass as someone. Like, if I saw you, I'd be like, he's somebody's security. That's for sure.
You think so? Yeah. I think I did this this Ram video where I was wearing a security hat, so I thought it'd be funny to wear that.
By the way, speaking of the Rams, I saw Matthew Stafford just made big bucks. He's like a real estate entrepreneur all of
a
sudden.
Yeah, not bad, right? I mean, nice to have an all-pro or a Pro Bowl quarterback in town, right?
Yeah. You know? He bought three properties, two of them from Drake, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them, the one he just sold, he just made like $1.5 million.
Where are they in?
Good for him.
Hidden Hills.
Okay.
Bye-bye the facility.
Well, it pays in a lot of different ways to come to L.A.
He goes back-to-back. They do run it back. Where do you guys put him in the L.A. sports scene, like all time? Permanent stamp, imprint, or just a guy that was here for a while? If he goes back-to-back, one's cool, you're there, we're going to talk about you. Going back-to-back, though.
In terms of L.A. mythology,
it's hard to do in the NFL.
Yeah, but he's not going to rate because he didn't...
Not here long enough.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You have to spend
more
time.
He won't be here long enough is
you
the
don't
problem.
You think so?
Okay. I mean, even if back-to-back, he'll get a footnote, but there's a lot of people.
Back-to-back, I mean
cause
historically in the NFL, they'll have to talk about you in the annals.
Oh, no, no. You, what you're talking about, though, is a better argument for his Hall of Fame case as opposed to his Ram of
Fame his L.A.
case.
Bona fides, his bona fides.
It's totally different. It's like the same way LeBron is going to go down as a greater player in NBA history than a greater Laker.
Correct.
Well, help me. You don't have to go in with a team. Is that baseball or is that football?
Baseball, you select a team.
You have to select a team. Yeah. Oh, okay, never mind. If you had to, I wonder, would he go in a Lion, even if he goes back-to-back here?
I mean, this is how hard it is or can be in L.A.
Yeah.
Like, Kareem, you can make a greater case for Kareem as the greatest player of all time than greatest Laker of all time.
That's fair.
And then you look at everything Kareem accomplished as a Laker,
mm-hmm.
but then you put him up against Magic, West, or Kobe, who were lifers. Like,
right,
the lifer
right.
thing puts it over the top.
Right. Because Kareem started with Milwaukee.
Right. And again, look at everything Kareem did with the Lakers, and he still wouldn't, I think, touch those guys.
Right. Magic and Kobe are 1 and 1A. Yeah, whichever way you want to discuss it. Like,
well, I have a new NBA dilemma. You guys can help me.
Yeah,
I got to find out where I put Steph Curry in my top 10 because somebody's got to drop out.
Well, I can't. I think, you know, honestly, probably Shaq and Oscar Robertson are probably, depending on who you have in there, is probably the guy that gets out for Curry now.
Shaq? No, see, he's solid for me. Yeah, yeah. I got to have Shaq. Yeah.
I mean, you're taking out like the old timers, like a Bill Russell or Wilt Chamberlain?
How? How can you take out the
Russell? Right, but then there's your conundrum.
I think I had LeBron in my top 10, though.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron should solidly be in your
top 10. Yeah, he's in anybody's top 10.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a question, though. I'm trying to find the exact tweet. Somebody asked me, okay, here it is, from Shereed Wade. If Stephen Curry was a great individual player, do you think he'd be ranked higher being in these, you know, top 10 things that we all debate? I responded, if Steph was a better individual defender, like somebody that is a plus defender, he might be the best player ever.
Ever, like arguably. Like, I mean, if he defended like Isaiah Thomas of the Detroit Pistons, like yeah, he'd be one of the greatest ever.
Yeah, if he was an upper defender for his
if
position.
If Isaiah could shoot like him.
Right, or vice versa.
Because
Steph, forget best shooter. Like Steph is one of the greatest scorers ever.
100%. Like I mean, this notion that he's just a shooter is silly because you saw he had. I put this up on Twitter yesterday. He was 7 of 15, okay, driving the basket whenever he decided to drive the basket to the basket yesterday. And the hold on. I want to make sure I get this right. This was like literally like midway through the fourth quarter. Hold on. He was better. He had a much better percentage than the Celtics did. Hold on. I want to make sure I have it. Damn it. Still scrolling. Here we go. Curry off the dribble. That's what it was. 7 of 15. Boston off the dribble. 5 of 37.
The fact that he is the greatest shooter, undisputably, of all time, I think overshadows how great a scorer
Correct.
He is. People forget that he is talented, getting to the basket. He's got an incredible handle. He's a great finisher, can score in the mid-range.
Yeah. You know what I loved about him? And I got a small...
He beat Boston in Boston?
Well, there was that, clearly, yes. As I was, you know, trying to mount that charge for the last 2 months, basically. Right. Somebody beat them, please. No, I like that he got a little spicy this season. And I got a little taste of that.
Wait, when?
Like,
what did I miss?
Like yesterday. Like, he was talking about all the people that
were
doubting them. And yeah, he's pointing at his ring finger in the middle of the third quarter.
Did the night-night gesture.
Yeah, when he hit the shot in the fourth quarter, he did like this.
Oh,
I
thought you meant like, you know, he was, you know, throwing hands with people.
No. I mean more like just, he's generally been very gentlemanly is what I would say.
Fair enough.
And I mean even with his words.
Yeah.
Like where he spent the postgame yesterday talking about he saw when Kendrick Perkins and Dominique Foxworth on First Take, you know, they were asked, like, how many more rings is Steph going to get? And they did this, like, zero and put it on top of their eyeballs.
Yeah.
And he did that at the press conference. Like, I was told that this was going to be the number of rings I was going to get. Like, it goes back to the notion what you guys were talking about. And you know this because you were an athlete. And I'm not saying all athletes.
Yeah.
But a lot of athletes read, listen, or see stuff.
Back in the day, you could ignore it. And sometimes I believed it.
It was easier.
Just turn off the radio. Don't read the paper.
Correct.
What have you.
Now,
there is no line.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you just played against this guy and he's on TV now.
Right. And by the way, your phone.
Right. Yeah. Right. So you're connected. So if you're going to say it, you better back it up. But you better believe that guy on the other side is going to listen to
it. But I believe more your era. Yeah. Right. The guys that played in the 90s. I believe that more because we barely even had the internet back then.
Yeah. But even then, though, I mean, how many fake slights did Michael Jordan use to motivate himself? That's in the 80s and the 90s.
Right. But that was more of like him getting into it with other guys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But they read everything.
Oh, no. Some guys do. I bet you play with a bunch of those guys that read stuff.
I read everything.
You did.
Yes. Everything. And I would see other guys that read everything and would go after the guy that read it.
I would say 90 to 95% of professional athletes see or hear damn near everything.
Yeah. I would agree. So
you can't get away from it now.
No, there's no
choice.
But
they don't want to get away. I think they don't want
to get
away.
They are engaged in a way that's... Well, listen, athletes today, though, the guys that are younger or coming up, like... They don't know an era that doesn't include it.
Didn't Draymond podcast right after a game?
Yeah.
This is a whole new era.
I can't wait for the next podcast.
Exactly.
It's going to be fire. Manny I can't wait to hear this one.
I got him.
Just waiting for him to podcast during the game.
Oh, that would be the best thing. Just do it right from the bench.
Oh, yeah. Every time he takes a breather, pull up his equipment.
Yeah. Andy, thank you for hanging out. We will see you next week, pal.
Yep.
Enjoy your weekend. All Andy Kamenetsky in for John Ireland today. We will start our show in 2 minutes. Tracy McGrady is going to join us in studio at some point this hour.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, what's up? Sedano and Cap, DeMarco Farr, Super Bowl champion for your St. Louis / Los Angeles Rams back then.
National
is in the house.
Champion.
Is in the house as well. And my guy, my dude, it has been 3 years I've seen this man. The last time I saw you, Tracy McGrady, was at Game 3. Okay, I remember this. Wow. Game 3. Magic Raptors the year Kawhi won the championship. That's the last time I have seen you in person.
Wow. Did you say Magic Raptors?
Yeah. First round.
What?
Yeah. I saw you there. You were sitting right there in the front row.
Wow.
I was doing the sidelines that
great
day.
Great memory.
I was doing the sidelines.
It's good to see you, man.
It is. Been too long, man.
Yeah, man.
So what do you got cooking? Tell me about this, the Ones Basketball League you got going on here at Pauley Pavilion this weekend.
Yeah, so I've created this one-on-one basketball league for guys that, you know, it's really a lot of untapped talent out here. A lot of great skill set. Guys are probably, some probably play overseas, but some just, you know, play pickup basketball. Some playing underground one-on-one leagues that we have out here that you probably don't even know about.
Right.
So I handpick these guys because I want great skill set, right? I don't want to watch, you know, a 6'2 guy going up against a 6'10 guy and 6'10 guy is just backing him down. Like, I don't want to see that. I want to see great skill set on display. So really giving these guys an opportunity to play on this platform, make a name for themselves, and tell their stories, right? That's what I'm all about. I want to hear their stories, where they come from, their love for the game of basketball, and see how far they could take it. I use the UFC reference a lot, right? Because that's kind of how I modeled this after. UFC have done a great job with their fighters and really making a household name for these guys,
right.
Giving them opportunity to do what they love to do. And that's basically what we're doing, giving them hope, giving them opportunity. And these guys are shining, man. Some of the stories and backgrounds of where these kids come from is phenomenal. And, you know, I love, you know, seeing and hearing where they come from and the opportunity that, you know, we're presenting to these guys. They love it. They love it. And for me, the structure for one-on-one basketball had to be right.
Oh, yeah, for
because
sure.
Because I could watch some one-on-one basketball and get bored with, you know, it just looks sloppy.
Right.
For us, we had to come up with the right model for us to be entertained for 2.5 hours, and I think we did a great job of that.
And for those that are interested, real quick, I just want to make sure we mention the website. It's oblhoops.com, Ones Basketball League. You can follow them on Twitter and IG, OBL Hoops as well. Go ahead, DeMarco.
Did you say underground basketball leagues?
Oh, yeah.
Underground basketball leagues. That sounds like some fight club stuff.
Just like they have underground fight clubs. They have one-on-one basketball where these guys are actually playing for money. I mean, and it looks...
Go ahead. I know what you mean. Yeah, go ahead.
So
I
grew up in Florida, right? We had dog fighting. My uncle.
Yeah, I knew you were going there. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like that, right? So where you have a bunch of guys around the court side betting while two guys are beating the heck out of each other.
Mm-hmm. Can I give you my number? Yeah. Next time you go, let me know. I want to see this.
But so ours was a little bit more structured than that.
Right.
We have referees. We have rules.
Same sort of mentality.
It ain't to the death. But
that same sort of mentality. Yeah. And, you know, the feedback that we get from these players, they love it, man.
Yeah.
They love it. And it's, you know, we're giving these guys an opportunity to showcase their skill set.
So this is the sixth stop in a six-city tour here in L.A. It's going to be at Pauley Pavilion this weekend. Again, for more information, go to oblhoops.com or go to their Twitter or Instagram, at oblhoops. You said you selected these guys.
Yeah.
So, like, you're sitting there when these guys are going through these tryouts or whatever it is, you're, like, straight up just, like, going, yeah, that guy's in, that guy's out? Like, how is that process?
So some of the guys send their tapes and videos in, right?
Okay.
So we view that.
Okay.
Some of these guys, I just handpick off of Instagram.
Oh.
I'll send them a message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
so like, they get that message from you. Do they believe they're being catfished or like?
They don't believe it's me. They really don't. They don't believe it's me. And that's the beauty of it. Like, it's really me.
Yeah.
Right? But nah, man, they love it, man. It's a golden opportunity for them. And to be around these guys and they tell me, bro, you changed my life.
That's
like,
awesome.
Like, my life has changed because of this. Like, that's what it's about for me.
Yeah. And then the championships will be held in Vegas, mm-hmm. and the winner gets cash prizes, and they compete to win $250,000 in grand prize in the grand prize
a
in the final.
$250,000?
Yeah.
All in.
Let's go. See? But you just heard Max say you can't be backing just people down.
Well, I get all the way to the finals, you're not like going to strip off the uniform and come out and play me, right?
I might.
See?
You know what I'm saying?
This ain't no boss level, right? This is just average Joe's going to this, right?
Back, you ain't no average Joe. You're a pro athlete. What are you talking about?
You're a pro athlete. Come on.
So what are the ages of these guys?
Just 18 and up. Yeah. So most of our guys is like mid-20s.
Mid-20s.
Yeah, but we have a guy that from Atlanta region. He's like 41.
Oh.
He's really good.
Yeah.
41.
He's really good.
I'm automatically rooting for him.
He plays overseas, and he's really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Speaking of golden moments, what did you make of what transpired here the last couple weeks between the Celtics and the Warriors?
I'm mad at myself. I should have stuck with my pick, right?
Yeah.
So last year when Golden State got – I don't know if it was a playoff play,
playing against game. The Lakers.
Right. So
they lost to Memphis too.
Right. Yeah. So when they got put out, I said if Klay Thompson was to come back healthy, they were going to win a championship.
Right.
Because I like the Wiggins piece.
Yeah.
Right? I like Poole.
Yeah.
I said, if these guys are healthy, they're going to win a championship. Now, we get to the playoffs this year.
Right.
I'm watching Boston. I'm watching Boston sweep Kyrie and KD. I'm watching them go through Milwaukee. And in seven games, they win against Miami. So I'm like, Boston has a chance to win this
thing. Hell of a resume.
Right, because they went through the gauntlet. Yeah.
They went
the
through
East.
The gauntlet of the East, and I was like, Boston's going to win this thing in six games.
Yeah.
Well, Golden State did.
I mean, you got the six right.
I got the six right.
Wow.
And I should have never doubted Steph, you know, just that experience and going up against those young boys. I should have never doubted
him. Dude, he won in Boston. He closed them out in Boston. Is there a tougher place to close out a team?
Boston, Utah, those are two tough places, and you know, but inexperienced, know, that championship was probably one of the most impressive out of the four that they have.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, because they are aging, right? And then they've got these young guys, and you know, you played in this league, like it's hard to marry young and older together to win.
With them is plug and play.
Yeah,
and they do a phenomenal job of that. They're going to be around for another 3 years. They're going to be tough.
Right.
And the reason why I say that, if Wiggins come back, if Poole come back, you got Moody on the bench, you got Kuminga on the bench, you got Wiseman on the bench.
Yeah.
Steph, Klay, and Draymond next season can average 30 minutes through the regular season cruise. They're going to be a problem.
You know what it reminds me of, and you played on this team later in your career. It reminds me of when Kawhi came to San Antonio, kind of rejuvenated mm-hmm. what was going on with Tony and mm-hmm. Tim and Manu, right? Like, because when Kawhi was there, I mean, you were there when he was there. Like, it changed the way that they played in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, Kawhi took more of that burden on his shoulder because he was young enough to do that. Mm-hmm. Those old guys was just chilling, you know, cruising through the regular season and picked it up in the playoffs, you know, with that experience. And that's the same thing I see with these guys. You know, it's amazing how they could be the worst team 2 years ago, come back and win a championship
crazy.
Like that. Like that has – I don't think that's ever happened.
Nope.
The culture from top to bottom is probably the best that I've seen in the NBA along with what San Antonio built. This is amazing.
Mac, we got a two-minute break. You got another couple minutes in
Sure.
You? Okay, cool. So Tracy McGrady's going to hang out with us. DeMarco Farr is in the house. We're back in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You know? Sedano and Cap, DeMarco Farr in the house today for Cappy. Tracy McGrady joining us in studio. He's in the area for his Ones Basketball League, okay? So it's one-on-one tournament. Some of the best talent you have here in Southern California going at it. Tracy has hand-selected every single player that's going to play there. Go on their website, oblhoops.com. It's going to be at Pauley Pavilion this weekend. Their Twitter and Instagram is at oblhoops. And again, this is the sixth stop in a six-city tour that did Houston, Atlanta, Chicago, New York, the DMV, which is the D.C. area, and now L.A., and the championship round will be in Vegas for $250,000. So it's
I want to play. Can I use a point guard? That's I use a point guard, though?
For what? To throw you the entry pass?
Absolutely. Come on, now. Still one-on-one. Just let me, you know.
By the way, 250, you talk about UFC. I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's some UFC fighters that don't make 250 in a fight.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Career. Yeah.
No, it's to me, man, it's one-on-one should be, especially basketball, should be global anyway.
For sure.
It's the pure essence. One-on-one is the pure essence of basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't tell me you have siblings.
Absolutely.
You can't tell me y'all didn't play one-on-one.
I can show you the scars,
right,
man.
Right, yeah. Growing up. Like, absolutely. That's, you know, it's the pure essence of basketball to me. And in five or six years, I see this being a global league. And once we identify what that model is here in North America, right, then we license that out to other countries. Because I want to find out, you know, we talk about who's the GOAT of basketball.
Yeah.
But it's MJ, LeBron. You know, I always got to throw Kobe in.
Yeah.
Right? But that's in a five-on-five setting.
Yeah.
Right? So if you say in today's game, who's the best player in today's game, I don't know who y'all would say, but I bet he probably won't be the best one-on-one player. Right? So I want to find out who's the best one-on-one player in the world.
Right.
So that's find out what the model is North America. License that to other countries so they can identify who the ruler of their court, and then we come together and have a OBL Olympics.
Now, you think any NBA guys will ever want to jump into this? Like, has anybody hit you up and said, hey, that sounds – or even former NBA guys, like, well, maybe like a Ray Ferraro. Like, I feel like Skip to My Luke could play in this.
Well, I try to keep – if you have more than 2 years' experience –
you're not
NBA,
in.
No, you're
okay,
not in.
Okay, gotcha.
No,
gotcha.
I want this for those guys that –
that don't have that experience.
Right, no, this is for those guys.
Okay.
And, yeah, so it's been great, man.
So it's similar to, like, in the sense of the experience level to, like, the tournament that gets played, you know.
The TBT.
The TBT. Okay, cool. So, again, check it out. Website is oblhoops.com, and their Twitter and Instagram is at oblhoops.
Who's the best one-on-one guy now in the NBA to you?
So if we do it by height, I would say in, like, that 6'3", 6'4", class and under, I'd take Kyrie.
Oh, yeah.
And then if we go on, you know, 6'5", and up – KD.
Where do you put Steph?
Steph and Kyrie, they would be in a championship.
Against each other.
Yeah, under 6'5".
Yeah. See, I would pay everything to see that.
Oh, that would be – could you imagine having that All-Star weekend?
Put that on a helipad.
Get rid of
somewhere.
The slam dunk contest and have them.
Yeah, that would be the way to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Steph, these guys are older now, but for some young guys?
Absolutely.
Man.
Yeah. I'd give you some sweat for that. Yeah. No doubt.
Come on, man.
I mean, listen.
LaMelo going against Lonzo?
Oh, come on. You going against Draymond.
Oh, LeVar be out there hooping and hollering,
too.
He
said me going against Draymond.
Oh, my boy's out there.
Yeah, I want to see you and Draymond.
Me and Draymond.
The best defender in the world. I want to see that. What do you say, the best defender of all time? I want to see that.
You got to believe it, man.
We got T-Mac right here.
Hey, so you don't believe it.
We were just talking about the Warriors winning the championship. Yeah. Now, let's talk about the flip side to that, the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Now, they're young, right? It's the first time there. But the East is a beast, as we just talked about. There are no guarantees they get back. But what do they need to do to try to get themselves back?
I have two names for you that they should be seeking. That's Malcolm Brogdon.
Oh, yeah.
That's my man, Brunson. Brunson out of Dallas.
Oh, Jalen Brunson is a free agent. Yeah.
Jalen Brunson out of Dallas.
Yeah.
Two guys that they solely need to really just orchestrate their team.
Yeah. Like, they don't have a real point guard.
No, they don't have a real point guard. And I'll move Marcus Smart to the bench.
Yeah.
Right? So I'll have one of those two guys, Jalen at the two. That, to me, is what they were lacking, because it seemed like they were too stagnant in these finals a lot of time when the heat got on them. Right? When that defense picked up a little bit. Yeah.
And we saw that in every series.
In every series.
Yeah.
Right? They just got away with it with – you know, Tatum and Brown hitting some tough shots. Al Horford had, you know, some big games. But when it comes to championship that defense, what Golden State put on them, you're going to have somebody have some organization out on that basketball court.
The Boston head coach. What's his name?
Ime Udoka.
Was he
on San Antonio when you were there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ime was there.
Yeah, he was the assistant coach at that time, right?
Yeah.
For some reason, I think before it's all said and done, he will be a championship coach.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But I think some of that experience that he didn't have as a head coach kind of showed up in this game.
It did. And I would tell you one of the reasons for me saying that, I was watching Jason Tatum, and too many times in the series, he had to work too hard to get a basket.
Yeah.
And it's too much dribbling beyond the three-point line, right? He's 6'9", 6'10". Get him closer to the basket. One dribble gets him to the basket,
right,
playing at the elbow area or playing mid-post. I thought he had to work entirely too hard just to get a basket.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see kind of how the offseason goes because there's a lot going on. Speaking of which, here – you played against Darvin Ham, I would imagine, back in the day.
Yeah, I did.
So what did you make of the Lakers hiring Darvin?
I love Darvin Ham. Yeah. I think that was a great hire. I think the respect that he would gain from LeBron and the other players will be mutual. I think, I think if Lakers are healthy, Bron is going to do his thing next year and lead these guys to the promised land.
You think so?
I think they have a chance. If AD comes back healthy – Bron already know what I'm going to get from him. And if I think Westbrook would have enough respect from Darvin Ham to whatever position he puts him in, he would flourish in that position, right? And have that respect for Darvin. I think they're going to be right there.
I was just going to say, how do you fix this mess? But you just told me.
Yeah.
Yeah, having a guy that Westbrook will actually listen to, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where would you play him? Where's the sweet spot between LeBron, AD, and Westbrook?
That's a tough question, not a tough question for me to answer. I think it'll be a tough pill for Westbrook to swallow.
Okay, just go ahead.
I think Westbrook was going to have to sacrifice more than he's ever sacrificed in his career, and that's coming off the bench. Be that guy to dominate the second unit. Right?
So he can say that. We can't say that.
No, I've been saying it.
For real. I think if he accepts that role, right, he would have a phenomenal year. Phenomenal year.
Dude, he'd crush it on the bench.
Let me be a coach that you played for. T-Mac, I think it's better if you came off the bench.
You got to understand, though. But you got to understand, I'm past my prime. Right, I've had all the individual accolades. I won MVP. I'm scoring titles, triple doubles. You know, for three consecutive years. Now it's time to win.
Right.
So if you're about winning, you're gonna do.
But you have to trust that guy, though, that coach, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
But you know, that's his job to help me feel comfortable with making that move. He has to encourage me to do that.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard you tell a story about. Now, this was in your prime, though. Like, you had a chance. Is it true that you had a chance to join Shaq and Kobe here in L.A.?
Yeah.
When was that?
That was, I think that was my free agency year after the Magic. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So before you went to Houston?
Before I went to Houston.
And what was that like? Were they just Shaq recruiting you?
I said
you?
No. Yeah. No. My agent told me.
Okay.
I had to sacrifice a lot of money to come here, but I was like, I don't want to do that. Because at that time, it wasn't like that to go and join a Shaq and Kobe, right? I wanted to compete against Kobe. Like, I wanted to go against him maybe in the playoff or in the finals. I wanted to end up playing against him, not go and join him.
Right.
I didn't have that mentality.
Yeah,
but I'm looking back now like, oh my God. I should have went.
Oh, my God.
I should have went.
Oh, my God.
So I'm guessing it was a short discussion then with your agent?
Yeah, it was a short discussion. Yeah.
So you never spoke to Shaq or Kobe about it?
No.
Like, maybe, what about after the fact?
No.
Never?
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
Nope.
I'm sure right now Shaq's going to see this on a video somewhere and be like, damn it, could have won more championships.
Well, he left.
He did leave, too. Yeah. That's true. He did leave eventually. But, speaking of Kobe, I mean, you said about battling. You had some fun battles with Kobe. What was, like, one or two that definitely stick out in your mind even until today?
You said you've never been, like, eyes big when you faced a guy. Not even Kobe in front of you?
Well, when you say eyes big, you meaning that
like, oh,
I'm afraid?
Not afraid. Just like, okay, I'm not afraid, yeah.
No. No, like I know what it is. Like, you know, I feel I'm on that level as, in terms of skill set and competing. Like, Kobe's going to have 38. I'm going to have 38.
All right.
Kobe's going to hit me with a move. I'm going to hit Kobe with a move. Like, no, like I had that type of ability. I wasn't afraid of anybody on the basketball court. But we played a game out here one night. I was cooking. I think Kobe had like maybe 4-5 points in the first half. Or probably even less than that. This dude came out in the second half. I don't know what he was going on. I don't know what he was going through in the first half. This dude came out in the second half, and he just went nuts.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, I'm saying to myself, like, bro, what are you doing? What are you on? Mm-hmm. How you turned that on like that? And he finished with like 38. Yeah. I had 38 that night, and they won the game. They beat us in overtime. I was cooking in the first half. And I just couldn't figure out. Like, he was passing the ball. I don't know what that was about.
So it's funny you say that story, because I did a story 2 years ago now about the guy and for the anniversary of the 81-point game. Mm-hmm. Of all the guys who were like the prime defenders against him. So Rajah Bell, Tony Allen, Shane Battier, mm-hmm. who played with you. Mm-hmm. And Shane told me that same story. Mm-hmm. He's like, we thought we had him. Mm-hmm. We had it good. Tracy was cooking. We were good to go. And then out of nowhere, he's just going nuts. And he told me that, you know, Kobe would talk a little bit, not too much.
Yeah, he talked that much.
Right, a little bit. He's like, but on the nights where he wouldn't say a word, yeah, that's when you knew.
Yeah, yeah. Because he was locked in.
Yeah.
He was fully locked in. Like, if you go and look at that 81-point game, he didn't say a word to nobody. He was just focused and locked in. Like, that's what you got to have. And when he's like that, you just got to hope he misses.
Yeah, it was nuts because those guys, like, they all told me the same thing. Like, Shane loved his battles because he was like, he said, it was like playing chess with him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I would like think of, I try to think two moves ahead, and then he'd try to think three moves ahead.
No, that watching those two guys, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful because, you know, such cerebral players.
Yeah.
Shane Battier is smart. Like, Shane, before the game, like, he has his notes. He's reading everything, right? He's reading everything on Kobe or whoever he has to guard, and he has that internally. He has his game plan going out and to execute that. And Kobe the same way. Man, watching them two go at it was just, you know, it like you said, it was a chess match.
I always thought he could play today.
Who?
Shane Battier. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily.
Like in today's NBA. They say it's changed. Yeah. Easily.
Dude, Shane Battier, when he won a championship with LeBron, I mean, was an undersized four back then. Like, he was, and that was at the time where there were still, like, real power forwards in the league.
Yeah.
That poor dude had to guard, like, David West in the Indiana series and stuff.
What's
like that.
What's he doing now?
He works for the Heat.
He works for the Heat. He is in basketball.
Yeah, he's in their front office.
Okay, I
figured
he loved
it. Shane, man. Yeah. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, dude. He's a
great teammate, man. I love Shane.
Yeah.
Love Shane.
Who was the guy? And, you know, I mean, I don't want to – I'm going to put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
Who was the guy – because he said that – I knew you weren't afraid of nobody. But who was the guy that, like, you remember – maybe he was young or whatever – that you were going up against and you could tell, oh, I got this guy right now?
I don't want to say no name. I got a few of those guys. I got a few of those guys that were terrified.
Yeah. Terrified of you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I believe that.
Because I sensed it. I sensed it, and it was just – I knew from, like, the first 5 minutes of the game it was going to be easy.
Yeah.
It was
gonna
give
me one name. Come on, just one name.
I don't want to put him on the spot like
what
that.
What team?
That's not important.
Give us a team.
New York Knicks.
Oh! Okay.
You're not gonna guess.
No.
Because that was like a revolving door. They
got some, back then when Larry Brown was there and those dudes, there was like 50 million guys coming in.
Did that guy grow up on you at some point? Did he realize, like, at some point when you saw a different face?
Actually, he was older than I was.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah,
oh,
He was older.
Yeah.
No, I knew I had his number. Like, it was a no-brainer. Like, just lunch meat. Like Shaq say, barbecue chicken is lunch meat.
Wow.
Some of my favorite moments from that era were his. I mean, him and Kobe, really, in a lot of ways. Because it's funny, I ran into Kevin Harlan the other day because I was covering the Western Conference Finals this year. And I said, you know, man, if there was one announcer that I would love to be the soundtrack of my life, it would be you. And no. And then I thought about it. He was the soundtrack to your life playing basketball, basically.
Yes, man. He had some incredible moments on. I gave him some incredible moments to announce that. His sound bites are off the chain by Kevin.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He sucked the gravity out of the building. Like, it was just like, whoa.
Like, how do you come up with that in that moment like that? That is just amazing.
Yeah. What is the moment when you think back at your career? Like, what is the thing that you say to yourself you're most proud of?
That's a good question. I don't know, man. I really.
Wait, aren't you going to the Hall of Fame?
I was in there.
I'm
in there.
You're in there.
In
there. You're in the Hall of Fame.
No, he's in the Hall of Fame. He got inducted already.
Yeah.
No, I know. I saw it.
And
so you're saying that
I'm
one?
I'm just saying you're in the Hall of Fame, man.
You know what? I'm glad you pointed that out, because when I look back on my career and I look at going into every season, I played 15 years. There's not one season I could say, "Damn, we're gonna win a championship this year," or "We're gonna compete for a championship this year." Like, as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you want, right? Mm-hmm. You want to come into training camp and feel you have an opportunity to win a chip, to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I never, not once, had the opportunity. I never had a championship team.
Right.
The time I had a championship team is the time I blew out my knee.
Right.
When we added Ron Artest to our team.
Yeah, when
I was cooked.
Yeah.
I was cooked.
Yeah. That was a shame, because that team probably had that shot.
Well,
yeah.
That team, we beat the Blazers in the first round.
Right.
We played the Lakers in the second
round. That's when Ron elbowed
Kobe.
Kobe, yes.
Right. Yeah. So we played them in the second round.
Yeah.
Yao gets hurt, and
we
take them to seven games.
Right.
Wow.
Without me and Yao.
Right.
You know how devastated I was?
Yeah.
Like, that was the darkest moment of my career.
Wow. What was that offseason like for you then after
it
that?
It was the darkest moment of my career for years.
Yeah.
It took me to get over that.
Yeah.
Because you understand, I've been fighting year after year to advance in the playoffs, and finally, I have the team to compete, and I'm damaged goods.
Yeah,
devastating.
Wow,
man. Yeah.
Wow.
You still talk to Yao? He getting you some wine or what?
I talk to Yao.
Wine.
Yao's big wine.
Yao
dude.
Drinks wine.
Oh yeah.
Drinks.
Yeah.
He's like a wine guy. He's got his own wine.
Yeah, he wished me happy birthday last month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What does it take for a guy that size to get drunk?
He probably got to drink the whole bottle.
He
probably got to take the whole bottle.
Oh, okay. I thought he was like Andre the Giant. Yeah.
Well, Mac, I know you're in town to do this. Pauley Pavilion this weekend, the Ones Basketball League. You got to check this out. Go check this out. It's going to be a blast. Tracy has handpicked every single person that's going to play one-on-one in this league. It is the last stop of their six-city tour here at Pauley Pavilion this weekend. And the finale is going to be in Vegas for $250,000 one-on-one basketball. It's just the beginning. Go to the website, oblhoops.com, Ones Basketball League, oblhoops.com, and on Twitter and IG, at oblhoops.
Yes, sir.
Tracy. I can't stop you, but I can foul you.
Thank you.
Great seeing you, my man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate
there he is, Tracy McGrady. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Oh, yeah. Come on now. Get down to Pauley Pavilion this weekend. Go check out T-Mac, oblhoops.com, his one-on-one league. It's going to be a blast. Maybe Kendrick will be there. You never know.
I hope so.
So, DeMarco Farr is in the house today for Cappy. How fun was that?
Man, we just talked to Tracy McGrady. It's old hat for you.
Yeah.
That's my first time.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. And he's cool.
He's like the nicest dude ever.
Great dude. Yeah.
But you were like, you threw your head back when he said he could have been a Laker with Shaq and Kobe.
I'm hurting. Laker fans all over the world hurt when he said that. Can you imagine that? Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. And he went to the Rockets, right? Is that where he went?
He went to the Rockets after Orlando.
Rockets. Well, yeah. I mean, that was a good squad, too. Yeah. That my heart hurt for him when he said he was ready. Finally, a championship squad, and he got hurt. I mean, that's heart-wrenching, isn't it, to you? Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a Laker fan, you're like, man, we could have had Chris Paul here, if it wasn't for that veto thing. T-Mac could have been. But I get it. He said it. Back then, guys weren't teaming up to do that stuff.
No doubt. Well, shoot, he could have been the first. That would have been fun, though.
Right. And here, if you
he
do
might
it.
Have a statue outside by now if that would have happened.
Come on now. That was Shaq's last year.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, if Tracy McGrady's on that team, they're beating the Detroit Pistons.
Right. Okay, so Shaq leaves. You still have McGrady and Kobe.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there's a statue. two out there in front of, what are we calling this now?
Crypto.com
Arena. Crypto.com Arena, yes.
Yeah.
My man. Wow. That was cool. Yeah. He was surprised you knew exactly the last time you saw him.
I remember because it was the first, one of the last season I did pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Before this one.
I guess you would remember that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I mean, did he gave Steph his props, right? He did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just wonder where do the greats put Steph Curry now? He's got four championships, right?
Well, you know what's interesting to me? He does. And LeBron has four. And I would have loved to have asked Tracy this, but I forgot. But I'd love to get your thoughts just as a professional athlete.
Yeah.
To me, the biggest difference, I mean, look, there's obvious differences between Steph and LeBron. Like, physically, one guy's an Adonis. The other guy looks more like a normal person, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But...
And it's funny. I had a conversation about people and that, like, I don't like LeBron James. Give me a reason why you don't like him. They don't have one. They just say they don't like him. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But everybody loves Steph. It's got to be something with
Well, Lindsay
side.
Doesn't love Steph. She's from Cleveland.
You don't I have like- a reason.
Yeah.
Nobody,
she's from Cleveland.
Listen, nobody in Cleveland loves Steph, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, nobody. That's one spot. But
yeah.
I mean, I guess he's more.
And he's from Ohio, which is terrible for you.
Yeah, I mean, he was there for like a minute. He was born there. He just happened to be born there. He's passing through.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he gets the love because he's, you know, not very big. I don't know why people dislike LeBron. What has he done wrong? Besides just be LeBron. Like, what has he done wrong?
Nothing.
I don't know. I mean, he's outspoken. And people don't like outspoken. That's it? That's part of the problem.
Is that why?
Yeah, people
Laura?
Don't like outspoken.
Is that why?
Why does everybody go to me, okay?
Well, you don't like him. Why don't you like him?
That's not what I said. That's not.
That
we're not
exactly
getting into this because we don't have that much time. But that's not what I said.
That's exactly what you
that's
said.
That's not
I
what I said.
I asked you for a reason why. Why don't you like
LeBron?
You
are putting words in my mouth.
I said, why don't you like LeBron? You
and know I never said
saying?
That I did not
because
like him.
I don't like him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Right.
It's not rational.
Right. It's not. That doesn't make sense.
But speaking of which, from a personality standpoint, the biggest difference between LeBron and Steph to me is their personalities. One guy has shown patience, Steph, right?
Yeah.
Where they went through they were the worst team in the league 2 years ago when he was hurt and Klay was hurt and Draymond was hurt. And then he came back last year and played with Draymond and a bunch of kids.
So LeBron gets docked for leaving Cleveland.
No, it's not. I'm not docking anyone.
Oh.
I'm just saying that LeBron isn't as patient as Steph.
Because he left Cleveland.
And he left Miami, and what I'm saying, like, because...
Well, once you leave Cleveland, you can pretty much bounce around now.
Right.
Yeah,
But what I'm saying is that he and I could... Look, the first time him leaving Cleveland, come on, man, Mo Williams is next best player. Like, I would have left, too. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, but Steph being patient, right? I mean...
But, he could have... I mean...
He could have bolted...
When he went back to... when he was in Miami, he left after 4 years. Now, I understand leaving back to Cleveland, but my point is... He was like, Dwayne's getting old and Chris, you know, whatever. I'm out. I'm going to Cleveland and kind of, you know, leveling up with two younger versions of that, right? Kyrie and Kevin. And then that didn't work out. And then he's like, I'm out to LA. You know what I mean? Like, and here they're changing the roster over constantly, right?
Yeah.
Where Steph has just been patient. Like, all right, I'm going to trust you, Bob Myers, as the general manager. I'm going to trust you, Joe Lacob, as the owner, that we're all going to collaborate and make the right decisions. And we're gonna have some patience. It's not always gonna work every moment of the of time, right?
Right.
And I think to me that's the biggest difference is that Steph has shown patience, whereas LeBron. And by the way, I say this as someone who's also impatient, who has been impatient at times in his career.
Well, the funny thing is, at some point you're gonna have to probably debate who's the greater player, Steph or LeBron.
Well, LeBron is the greater individual talent. There's no question about that.
I mean, but an argument can be made coming the other direction. You've heard people putting Steph Curry on the Mount Rushmore of the NBA.
I heard Kendrick Perkins do that.
A lot of people.
I love Kendrick Perkins. I don't know if I'm in that. I'm not four. That means four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's already starting. I'm saying right.
I'm not there yet.
I got you.
Steph is in my top 10.
So who is your top 10? That's what I'm trying to get to. Oh, I was going to ask T-Mac the same thing. Who is your top 10?
Okay. So my top 10 is Jordan 1.
Right.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me get my phone out because I got my list. Go ahead. So Jordan 1. I think everybody in the world has at least two of the top four.
So Jordan one.
Right.
I have LeBron 2.
You got LeBron 2?
2.
Interesting.
Kareem 3.
Okay.
Okay. I've got Magic 4.
Okay. I got Jordan, Magic, Bird, and Kareem.
Okay.
As my 4.
Okay. Yeah. I have 5, Tim Duncan.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. Can you imagine a highlight reel of Tim Duncan? How boring would that be?
It would be boring, but he's amazing.
Yeah. What?
Because you gave me an when I said Duncan. He
no, I was saying how like, I was thinking about the highlight reel. Can you imagine a highlight reel of Tim?
Well, Duncan? It would be like technically as sound as anything you've ever seen in your life.
Can you please keep that to 7 minutes or less? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, honestly, if you want to teach a kid how to play.
Tim Duncan.
All day.
But his, name his signature play.
I mean, anything that involves footwork, basically.
Name, but his signature moment. Dr. J rocking the cradle on the Lakers. LeBron bash Kobe. Shaq.
I mean, I don't think he has a signature moment. I just think that he just won. And he was always the best player outside of the last championship he won.
That's what I mean. He's great. He's on my list. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Then I've got Kobe.
Yeah, okay.
Then I've got Larry Bird. Then I've got Steph Curry. And then I've got Shaq. And then Bill Russell.
Okay, so you shoved off Wilt Chamberlain.
Just not as many championships as the other guys. That's at some point that's got to count for something.
But that's what I mean about Steph Curry. He's creating a problem for me and a lot of people. You've got to remove somebody from that top 10 to insert
And by the
him
way,
in
I had Oscar Robertson at one point, and he was out too.
I mean, would you ever move Bird off the list before? Like, you had LeBron at two. That's how you feel about him.
Yeah.
LeBron is cemented.
LeBron is the greatest individual talent the NBA has ever had.
Period, end of story.
Yes, okay. Greatest individual talent. Doesn't mean he's the most accomplished. It means he's the greatest individual talent.
Most of the purists, like, when I give a list, it's similar to yours. Yeah. I think I have Barkley on mine.
I think Kareem doesn't get enough love to be in the top three, and he deserves to be in the top three. I can make an argument for any of the top three guys to be number one.
The people I share my top 10 list with, they say I should replace LeBron with Steph. Leave the older guys where they are. Like, you can't drop a Wilt off a top 10. Replace LeBron.
You're taking LeBron out of the top 10?
Exactly.
No,
to put Steph
not.
On it. Right, right.
No, absolutely not.
Not going to work?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. All right, listen. Let's talk about, we've talked a lot about the Warriors. What the hell happened to Boston? Hashtag bleep Boston. Tim Bontemps, who covers the NBA for us here at ESPN, has spent a ton of time this year covering the Eastern Conference, particularly Boston. We're going to talk to him about that. He's also been around Darvin Ham a ton.
Right.
So I'm going to ask him his thoughts about Darvin Ham. Stick around. He's going to join us in 2 minutes.